At any rate, Dick and I were married 10 years. Mm-hmm. And he worked, of course, he rotated at different offices in his job. Mm-hmm. And of course, and I was just driving every day over to Terminal Island. Mm-hmm. And finally, there just came a breakdown in communication between us. Mm-hmm. And the one thing we did every year that was always a source of joy, and Dick had never been up there. And we drove up and we drove back, and we would go different routes, either take the Coast Guard route, Highway 1, one time, or we'd go 395 inland and took lots of pictures, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. He liked my family, and they loved him. And, but finally, as I say, it just kind of became a nowhere situation. And so there just came really to a screeching halt. And then Dick started in that if I just didn't work and could spend time at home, and I couldn't do that. Because to me, here was my source later on, thank God. I didn't consider it even 1 minute. Mm-hmm. So finally, it broke down completely. But even when Dick left, he thought he had put down. He always kept very careful that it was all right, and we remained good friends. Mm-hmm. And at any rate, then he told me one day that he'd met somebody who was going to be married. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, well, if I ever hear, I said, is she working? He said, no. I said, if she ever worked, yes, she had. She was a widow, and she had a daughter. And I said, if I ever hear it, her working, it's just going to be one hearty har-har. And he said, no, no way. Well, of course, he went to work eventually at the auto club in the same building with him, and they even had lunch together, drove up together and had lunch together and drove home together. Of course, then meanwhile, his mother had, he'd inherited some money, quite a bit of money. And so he and Rosie, his, by now his third wife, they bought over here, I think, in the Rossmore area, somewhere, very, very lovely home and so on. And they had a child, a little girl. And so at any rate, they've been divorced now for several years. And I guess she walked out on him. But Rosie was a lot younger than Dick. Mm-hmm. And now I understand he's remarried for the fourth time. And this time, though, probably this one's okay. In their neighborhood where they moved, a neighbor died, and it's his wife, a widow. And meanwhile, Rosalie had left Dick high, wide, and handsome over here in Rossmore. Mm-hmm. And so apparently he and the widow lady maybe developed a friendship, and he was helpful. Anyway, I understand that he's married, mm-hmm. and that she's a lovely person. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I wish him nothing but the best. So he sold his home there. Mm-hmm. And moved in with the widow lady. Mm-hmm.
So you, in the meantime, though, you had, when you reached this point of time that they were sort of drifting apart or whatever,
yes.
you never thought at all of giving up the job for...
for 1 second.
Uh-huh. Did you feel that, you mentioned that Lockheed was your first chance working. Were there things about working that maybe you had developed from the time in those 4 years, or was this back to your dream of civil service?
No. This was just that the offer was there, mm-hmm. and as a group, we got into it. I had no really thoughts about where it might lead. Mm-hmm. It was a way of life. It filled in time. It was income. Mm-hmm. It was a patriotic thing to do. Mm-hmm. We worked on planes that were being shipped overseas. So there were very real reasons. In fact, anybody who didn't work, like in war work, the people I knew, they were women, mm-hmm. with small children at home, mm-hmm. waiting for their husbands. And some women elected not to work. They'd rather be home. Perhaps they had their income was sufficient to maintain them. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like I was a group that kind of belonged together, and we all had this joint effort going into the civil service.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a club in a way, with a common goal, and you felt like you belonged.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were divorced, that was like in around 56,
right? Yes, yeah.
Did you feel at that time that you would be able to support yourself? Did you have any worries about it?
No, I was able to. I was able to manage. Of course, I had to really squeak, but Dick gave me the car,
mm-hmm.
and he gave me the house, and everything in it. And because he was ex-military, he was able to file every year. I obtained a break in that my payments
mm-hmm.
remained on the same level as when we were married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he remarried, then this was no longer possible. My rent went up, mm-hmm. rent of the house payments. But on the other hand, I was earning more money in my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of, the increases in pay came along just at very providential times.
Mm-hmm.
So I never, I was never in any danger of losing my home.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have to really budget and be very careful for several years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the time of the divorce, did you have any fears or concerns about being on your own?
Well, it was, I was never afraid, but I had very mixed feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened about that time, though. My sister's husband died, and she was up in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
He'd left the Navy and gone up there. They'd bought a home. And he'd been retired for several years, and he died quite suddenly, and he was only 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived kind of in a farming area up there, and she could never have managed the property because it was just a lot of responsibility and work. And she was just horror-struck with what had happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just decided to come down to Long Beach. Now, she'd been here before.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she and her husband had lived here and so on years before. So she descended on me with three dogs. I may have mentioned this before. She had two doxies and a great big shepherd, and I had a little dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long before she had decided there was a house vacant down the street, and she was able to buy it. She got insurance, and she was left rather well situated. And so she moved down here just about the time that the divorce was pending and all this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something new come right into my life, a sense of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister she's very different than I am. She's a very dependent person.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a type that asks advice. And she doesn't always follow it, but she does ask.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped having her here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she knew Dick very well and just crazy about him. And he about her. And so when I talked about Dick, she knew what I was talking about and so on. So That kind of filled a void there that
mm-hmm.
I might have otherwise had.
Yeah. Now you continue to work for, in the sleep support, what exactly does sleep support do?
Mm-hmm. Support the feet, well, that's, in the Navy, there are districts, there are 13 naval districts,
mm-hmm.
and Long Beach is under the 11th Naval District,
mm-hmm.
and the headquarters, for instance, is San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And every district
mm-hmm.
in the area, they have usually located at a port,
mm-hmm.
Canby, not necessarily, but Long Beach is under the 11th Naval District.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego is the headquarters for the 11th Naval District. Then San Francisco is the 12th Naval District.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, each naval district, each port, like Long Beach, that's under the Navy, has a port control office. There's one in Long Beach, there's one in San Diego, there's been one in San Francisco, San Diego, and they have the same responsibilities
mm-hmm.
in that area. Under each port control officer is a fleet support office in each naval district, each port.
Mm-hmm.
And so the port control officer, those are the ones that physically handle ships to the extent of berthing them when they come into a port, assigning a berth, seeing if they have the oil and the water and certain supplies.
Mm-hmm.
The Fleet Support Office is kind of an administrative or a clerical
mm-hmm.
adjunct of the Port Control Office.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the regulations, Navy regulations, is each port, they print every day the list of all the ships in port,
mm-hmm.
and the location and telephone numbers if they have any,
mm-hmm.
and it's alphabetical. Well, our office typed this every day,
mm-hmm.
and I used to broadcast on KFOX downtown from my office. It would be a little broadcast, the ships coming in and leaving,
mm-hmm.
for the dependents information. And then every ship, when they came in, had to be boarded by a boarding officer. The port control officer assigned the boarding officer. But the books and all the information he carried was compiled by the fleet support officer.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to keep the publications up to date and change them and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had medical officers on all of the ships.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to come in and help out at the naval, on the shore facility, at the headquarters, to take care of dependents who were eligible for treatment. Fleet support officers would assign those naval officers to come from the ship. So a lot of messages went out. It was a very, very busy office.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot.
And
of
fun. It was just wonderful. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Your hours off of work, maybe you could talk separately about the time when you were married and then after you were divorced, but what kind of things did you do socially?
Well, in my office, one day, a lady came in, a WAVE officer,
mm-hmm.
first one that we'd had, and a lovely person, unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at the naval station over here is the officers club, Allen Center.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not eligible to go there unless you're affiliated with the officer family,
mm-hmm.
either your husband or you can be a guest. So as a civilian, we weren't eligible to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of her name. But at any rate, she was a very social-minded young lady in her early 30s. And so another lady in my office, Lita, about my age, had hired her a year or two before. And so our WAVE officer, her name was Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And so she invited us to come over, and of course they had the happy hour over there, a very gay place, orchestra and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So Lita and I, gladly, we had a wonderful time. So we met lots of people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say we probably went over about 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going to City College night courses.
Now, when was that?
That was about in... I'd say about maybe the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And Lita, I talked her into going.
Mm-hmm.
So we took one or two classes, night classes. And I took everything that was transferable, luckily. I had no idea what I was going to do with the courses at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I accrued 14 units, which was almost a semester.
Yeah. What made you decide to get in?
That's me. I always did like school, and I like to read, and I like to learn, and I think I was getting a little, this was palling on me a bit, the activities over at Allen Center. And, of course, I had a lot to do here. I used to mow and edge the lawn, do all the yard work, and I always had little pets and so on, so I was very busy.
Mm-hmm.
I had lots and lots of energy. And it just seemed the thing to do. It's just 4 signals up the street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people up there, everybody practically works in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
So, as it turned out, they were transferable units to... Then also, when Dick and I were divorced, I became eligible then for, I had lost my pension at the time that Dick and I, and then Congress, well, 2 things happened. In 1973, they closed down the Long Beach Naval Station,
mm-hmm.
and the ships transferred to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a choice. I could, if I retired then, and I had my time, and I had 32 years civil service, I beg your pardon, 29 and almost 30 years. If I left then before June the 30th, 1973,
mm-hmm.
there would be a 6% increase in my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it. And at the same time, Congress passed legislation which made any of the widows, military widows, who had remarried and lost their pensions could regain them if they were divorced or widowed again.
Mm-hmm.
So my pension came back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I became eligible for the GI Bill educational benefit. So I retired June the 30th, 1973, Mm-hmm. And September 73, I was a freshman at Long Beach City College in the GI Bill. Uh-huh.
So, did you decide at that time to take any particular plan of study?
Oh, yes, English literature. Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. Was that just of interest?
No, I read the yearbook that they have and told the different courses. And I went to a counselor and talked it over. And then I had a friend who, he was a student at somewhere in the area. But he gave me some advice. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, his wife-to-be and I went to Europe on a summer vacation, 3 weeks. And he enrolled for me as a proxy.
Mm-hmm.
And he selected my subjects. He talked to a counselor and told this older lady, that I'd retired and so on. And so I took a theater arts course, and there was an English course, and there was the most interesting mix,
mm-hmm.
I think, stage makeup. That came to 12 units, because that's the requirement to be eligible for the GI Bill.
Uh-huh.
So I came back, everything was set up, the courses and the whole thing, so it was a whole new ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I've been going ever since.
And you got an AA over there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when was that?
Well, let's see, 73, 75 in September,
mm-hmm.
and then in June, 75 in June. Maybe it was 76 in June, because they only took 12 units a semester.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 76 in June, then in 76 in September, I enrolled at Cal State.
Right.
Yeah, and also, by going to Cal State, I'm under the senior citizen bill,
mm-hmm.
and that's $3 a semester, you see.
What plans do you have from here?
I still have to retire, and I don't know what in the world I'm going to do.
Uh-huh.
I still have to retire.
Uh-huh.
But I'll always go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's so close here. And since my neighbors in the back, they're both graduates of Oregon State,
mm-hmm.
and they're all taking subjects there, but not the real nitty-gritty. But, for example, now they're under a travel conference course. And so they go, I think it's once a week, there are people that come in and talk to them about travel, and then they have bus trips once a week where they go daily trips. I mean, it's just one day trips, around the area. And I've been to Europe 5 times now, and I've been everywhere, I've been to Russia and various places. And I still, the Greek Isles, and Spain and Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, I saw an ad in the 49er about travel to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent in for Chico, Kelsey, at Chico, and I received a reply, and it's a study course, well, sort of. And it's, but there's another one. They had a whole list of them. There's one that has Monte Carlo, Athens, Greece, the Italian Riviera,
mm-hmm.
Spain, and Portugal, and it's a cruise. I've never been on a cruise, so I'm toying with that idea.
When you look back from right now about your work in the Warriors, in what ways did it change your life to have been a warrior?
In the first place, it initiated me into the working world,
mm-hmm.
in sort of an offbeat way. Now, I'm sure that had I been introduced immediately into an office, I'd have had a different perspective. But this was kind of like a never-never land, working with men, and especially on the graveyard shift with nighttime, driving in these peculiar lighting arrangements and so on. And I had no particular direction or purpose then. I just went every day where they assigned me, did what they told me to do. And I felt secure, but I had absolutely no particular direction after that until I'd worked long enough to know that I'd had it there, that it couldn't continue. And then when the opportunity came up, then of course I shifted out. But it was kind of an initiation, you might say, from being a very dependent homemaker,
mm-hmm.
dependent on the Navy and on my husband, and very secure, kind of not kind of poor, but very secure emotionally, and financially and physically, you might say. And then the rug was literally ripped out from under my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was it was just a whole new ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it probably helped me to start growing up.
Did you ever feel, after still looking at the machinery and things, more capable of fixing things around the house? Or did you
not really.
Keep using tools? Or
because the only thing I ever used was really a riveting gun.
Uh-huh.
That I was limited to that, really. No, I'm not efficient at all with the tools. I have friends that are other women that just have a knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But I can mow the lawn, and I'll start up a lawnmower and this type of thing. Of course, I don't do it anymore. But I just hire somebody and have them come in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like anything to get run down. I try to keep everything very well maintained in my home.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a car trip, a women's car care class.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of Saturdays ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned more about a car than about the innards of it than I ever had before. And that was and they gave each one of us a tire gauge. It was about $6, so I know how to take my tire pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of thing. But no.
Mm-hmm. In general, I mean, when you look back on the experience, how do you feel about it?
Of course, I've never had any children.
Mm-hmm.
And in my whole lifetime, I've been married a total of about 13 years. So I have been alone, you might say alone. And yet I'm a very independent person. And school, reading, I gravitate towards a certain type of person. I just feel, really, life's been pretty good to me. I've been a very, very lucky person. But I've worked hard. I haven't asked for favors at all. I feel that everything I have earned, except that I've had certain marvelous breaks along the way, and that I've had some terrible losses. And I still feel, I believe that you have your ups and your downs. Nothing stays the same. And that God doesn't give you anything to bear that doesn't, you know, sort of give you the strength to go with it. But I've always been blessed with good health. I had a physical just the other day. Everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And financially, I'm okay. I'm one of the lucky ones that own my home. And I still feel somehow